sales is a transference of feeling. I think people forget this sometimes. Sales is a transference of feeling. So if we're just going big picture, sales is emotion, okay? So I'm gonna say something maybe a little controversial, but it's totally true. Every decision anyone makes, whether they say it's logical or not, it's always emotional, even if it makes total sense. It's always emotional. There's a feeling behind the reason you're purchasing something, whether it's a rental property, the house, selling their house, whatever it is, it's always emotional. The reasons people decide to work with someone is simply these two things. They have a need for whatever you do, right? Trying to sell, buy the house, and they trust you. And if they don't trust you, they don't work with you, they look for someone else. So your whole goal, right, when someone reaches out to you or you reach out to someone and they're trying to sell or list, is to build trust. Agreed?
Yes,
that's the entire point of what we're going to go over. And there's a way to build trust that's quick and efficient and it's powerful, and you build this really strong relationship with people. And there's this way to do it that takes a while, frustrates people, frustrates yourself, and you're getting all these objections, right? And people not following through or saying they're going to work with you, then they don't, and whew, all the different things. And you heard a million of them when you knock on people's doors, let me tell you. There's unlimited objections of why people can say no, right? What I want to do is I want to reframe sales from what we normally think of it, this is sort of like maybe slimy thing, to think of it more like dating, okay, for a second. Okay, so everybody in here can actually understand sales better than they used to just by thinking of it in dating, okay? So there's a thing called the cycle of the sale. There's these moments that we go through. But think about dating for a second, right? So I just use a random bar example, okay? If a guy goes up to a girl at a bar to hit on him or whatever, right? And he said, hey, do you want to marry me? First question, what happens?
She's out.
No, this is weird. I don't even know who you are. I don't even know your name, right? That's weird, but often salespeople do that. Hey, can I have the sale right now? I don't know anything about you. Does that make sense? And that doesn't work, right? There's no reason to do it that way. Okay, a better approach would be more like, hey, what's your name? Can I get you a drink or whatever, right? Start a conversation. If the conversation goes well, might be some check boxes that maybe she gives the phone number. And then there's follow-up, right? There's a phone call. But if that phone call goes badly, there's no first date, right? And if the first date goes badly, there's definitely no second date. Right? Kind of track it with me? Okay. So now, we all get that. That's what you do as salespeople. That's it. You're dating somebody. You're dating them, right? And so obviously when we're dating them, there's certain things that we look for, and that's what your prospect's looking for in you. It's the exact same concept, okay? How can we make that better? How can we make it better? Now, you guys all get referrals in here, I'm assuming, right? You all love the referrals. Why do the referrals work better, right? Well, think about in the dating scenario. Hey, Sue, I know your friend Lily. She said you're cool. We have something in common that I already know. And therefore, how much more likely is Sue in this scenario going to give the guy the phone number because of the connection with Lily? That's why it works, right? It's all that trust. Before we go into this, right, which is essentially the framework for developing a sales script or a sales process and how to improve it, right, and make it better, we want to frame everything in the mindset that we're going to sell the way people like to buy. So in order to build this and go through each concept, we have to understand human nature and how people make decisions. Because everyone has a personality, we tend to sell like a certain type of personality, and it attracts a certain type of personality. And often these are called decision-making styles. There's four main decision-making styles, which means if you only work with personality, you're only selling about 25% of people. Okay, and really good sales presentations and processes appeal to all 100% of people. When you get really good at sales, you can identify someone from the first question they ask, how they look, how they dress, and you understand the reason that they're not going to buy and what they're looking for in order to feel comfortable with you. Okay, so before we go through all the application, the technical stuff, we really need to understand these four decision-making styles, okay? These four are fighters, entertainers, detectives, and counselors. And if you ever had a DISC, you know, the driver's a fighter, the influencer's an entertainer. People have different names for them, but I like these four. If you want to go deeper into this, there's a good book called Navigate 2.0 by Dustin Hillis. He was the record holder at the company I worked at. He made like $105,000 in 12 weeks as a junior in college. He's just insanely good at sales. Dustin Hillis, Navigate 2.0. I love that book. That's where I got a lot of this portion of the talk from. So, talking about fighters, right? You guys, and you're going to have memories come up, and I encourage you to start thinking about people who act like this. You ever call someone, cold call, warm call, whoever, they're like, what do you want? It's a fighter. They're straight to the point. Their first question is always what, okay? And you can tell by looking at them, right? So verbally you can hear what, but if you see these lines right here on me, those are called freight train concentration lines. I see a couple of them out there. And you know you're a fighter, aren't you? You're straight to the point, okay? So when a walker would answer the door, I would knock and they would answer the door, and I saw these lines, I just cut out all the fluff, and they'd love me for it. And they would talk to me. It's the same thing when you hear that question, what? Get to the point, what? You've got to approach it a certain way if you want to close that person, right? Okay, so the reason they're asking what is they like to be in control. They like to be in control. Their biggest fear is not being in control, right? And so the way that you sell this person in all these different steps that we're going to go over here in a few minutes, right, is to allow them to be in the driver's seat, right? For some people, that's easy, but if you're a driver, it's kind of hard. You actually have to sit back, right? There's some strategies emotionally, if you are a driver selling to another driver, that you need to like lean in your chair. Or conversely, you're so good at being to the point that these other three get really rubbed wrong, right, by the way that you're selling. Does that make sense? Okay, so biggest things to write down on this is that they're quick decision makers. They ask the word what. If you hear what, you're talking to a fighter, okay, you need to change immediately. Get to the point, and it needs to be just confidently true, and here's the value. They struggle with having fun and relaxing. See a couple smiles out there. I'm a fighter. I get it. I'm a workaholic sometimes, right? So they love an easy process, right? So if your process isn't like, I'm not going to buy from you because I'm just like, it sounds like I have to do work. If I'm a fighter trying to buy something from you, my goal is that you do all the work for me or I'm not working for you. Like, I'm going to find someone who's going to do the work. Does that make sense? Our entertainers, okay, there's lots and lots and lots of realtors who are entertainers or influencers, as most people call them. Visually, you can tell an entertainer by their cheeks. Because they smile more. They have more fun versus the fighter, right? They smile more. So you got the cheeks. I can see a few of you out there that are totally entertainers just by the way that you're smiling. These are people who really like to get to know people. They're also easily distractible. I have a team meeting I'm going to go to on Monday for Aaron Cooper, who's Keller Williams' agent and got a team called the Cooper Group. And they're all entertainers. They're all influencers. And a meeting that's normally going to take her 4 hours, we're going to try to do an hour and a half together, which is why you need to, right? Okay, so the influencer always asks who. So if you actually look at the best sales processes, right, the ones that are the best not only are very clear and structured for the fighter, right, but they also have a portion that's names. And if you get anything out of this, forget everything else, just write down names are power. Names are everything. Names are literally everything. Regardless of who it is, a name builds trust. A name builds trust. And I work with so many realtors, and you know, as far as I can tell, they're not getting reviews. They don't have a names list. We used to call them a names list, where we have every client on a list somewhere that we could just hand to someone or show, you know, or have a album of pictures, which in my sales presentation, which Vernon has gone through, for example, there's a whole slide of all the people, and we go through and we pick out who you know. Right? Why? Because when an entertainer sees their friend, they're ready to buy. Because their friend's bought. You must be good. It's immediate. It's right? Does that make sense? So who? They ask who? Entertainer. Who? Who is good? They're quick decision makers. Okay? So they're not going to go through a lengthy process. If you don't get to know them, they won't like you. So if you do the fighter approach, the fighter introduction, some of these words we'll go over in a second, right, to an entertainer, they start to go like this, and they become uninterested. You need to be interested in their life. The entertainer's presentation, instead of being 30 minutes, might be 40. It's going to be a little longer, okay? But don't make it 2 hours, because they get distracted. Biggest fear, social rejection. It's always make them feel good. Third one, detectives. So we usually have a primary, you know, decision-making style, and then we usually have a secondary. My secondary is the detective, the more analytical side of things. Detectives are numbers and data-based. So if you work with a lot of investors, you're probably a detective because you get the numbers, right? And if you have a presentation that shows numbers, you're appealing to, go ahead, you're welcome. You're appealing to detectives, okay? So these detectives, if it's not proof, if there's no proof, they're not going to buy from you. They're not going to buy, which is why it's so important to track your success of your clients and when they sell or buy and all the different things and all the numbers, you know, how long it normally takes to close a deal. Hopefully you have CRMs that track if someone works with you, what's the average close rate? Like these numbers, even if they're not like where you'd like them to be, if I see that, I'm like, sweet, this person's being honest. You can't fake numbers. Yeah, you can't fake numbers. It'd be, you know, I just, sweet. I don't get fluffed, perfect. You know, I understand that there's going to be this expected result that may or may not be somewhere in this range. You know, does that kind of make sense? So it builds the trust with them. So their first question is why? So if you're talking to someone, they're like, why this? Why that? Why? That is the detective. You all have friends probably too, right? That are these detectives and they have these big overarching themes and ideas they like to talk about, right? Biggest weakness for these people is they overthink it. So you need to take any reason to overthink it out or they procrastinate because they're slow decision makers. If it's not 100% the right choice, their biggest fear is making the wrong choice. So if there's a 1% chance it's the wrong choice, they're probably going to procrastinate until you offer the 1%. So a lot of people ask, like right now, it's like there's this, you know, the loans are so high and how's this work? And people kind of get struggling with like closing people on selling their house or buying or whatever it is, right? You know, like one solution is like, can you teach them, right? Because we know about different loans, right? And we understand that there's loan officers that can, you know, do a refinance when the rates come down, right? Can we model out that process for that person so they buy now at a high rate, then in a couple of years that good chance they could come down. So if it makes sense, does it make sense? It's more of a math problem. And just doing the math for them so they can see it and giving them the things. So visual cues, I'm a perfect example today. Okay, they're either kind of slobby, which is the disorganized sort of analytical, or like everything's in the right place. And so you can tell literally just from that. If you go to my desk though, it's kind of slobby, but the way I dress, I like to, you know, have it kind of put together. My brother's like that too. He's analytical. He's a detective and he's an engineering major. Okay, last but not least. Now, counselors are the trickiest ones to work with, but once you start working with them, they will be with you for a decade, okay? So there's a lot of value in getting counselors to want to work with you or recruit and all these different things. These all translate to different parts of business. But this person is long-term relationship-based. They are a slow decision maker. They're somebody who really believes in loyalty, okay? And they don't just trust people. My wife is a perfect example of a counselor. She has these certain friends that she's just loyal to a fault for, and getting her to trust you is just like, yeah, she's like recounting all of the things where you didn't call or text, right? You know, if someone's smiling, maybe you're a counselor. She's remembering all the moments that they showed up, you know, if they were somebody who's one of her loyal friends, right? And so the first question of these people is like, how does it work? How do I make this? Like they struggle with this idea of change, right? Because they're loyal. This person, really good. I can trust this person. I don't have to change anything. This is my person, because their biggest fear is change, right? So you need to make it super clear of what's going to happen in your sales presentation. If you were to add extra slides or a few slides, either for the specific person or just in general, to have it very clear, again, process of what's going to happen, how things work, right? Maybe a little one sheet explaining all the steps, this person would be a lot happier. And this is a person where you do have to follow up with a lot and just keep them in your mind and, you know, call or text them or whatever until they get to the point where they trust you and then they work with you and then they come back to you because they trust you and they don't want change, right? And that's a great client to have, isn't it? I don't want to change. I'm working with you, Karen, for the rest of my life, please. I don't want to look for anybody else. Karen's my gal. So visual cues, this is actually really funny. Sometimes they have a little crinkle looking in part of their ears, which is bizarre to me, but you can kind of see it, which is very interesting. Not every single person, but yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, so there you go. Freight train, concentration lines, rosy cheeks for the entertainers, right? Kind of just calculated for the detective, little crinkle ears for the counselor. Okay, so we have this in mind, right? So this is how we're going to build our entire sales process. We want to appeal to all four people. If you're not appealing to all four people, you're cutting some people out who would otherwise buy from you. Okay, so I'd like for them to buy from you, yeah? So exercise real quick. So I want you to go ahead and identify, right? It's not about what you know, it's about what you apply, right? So we're gonna take 2 minutes. I want you to identify if you currently appeal to the four buying styles. Okay. Do you currently appeal to all four? If not, write down who you do appeal to and write down a little task list, maybe 3 or 4 things that you should add to your sales presentation. And if you don't have a PowerPoint for your sales presentation or something, you should have one. We're all visual beings now with social media and online. So you need to, if you want to get to the next level and speed this up, otherwise, instead of spending 2 hours talking to someone to get them to like you, you can do it in 19 minutes or 20 minutes or 30 minutes to where they're like really sold on what you have to offer and they get your value. So write that down, 2 minutes real quick. What information about you and your process could you add to appeal to each of the different buying styles? If you like investors or somebody, Vernon, a pro forma? What's a good pro forma example that you could add in, you know, for your investor presentation, right? Do you have multiple presentations for each style of purpose? You know, because an investor is looking at something different than a, you know, first-time home buyer and everything in between.